Now, friends, as we come here to this little book of Lamentations, it normally and naturally follows the prophecy of Jeremiah. And in this little book, why, his soul is laid bare before us. I would like to read the statement of another that I think will properly introduce us to this little book. It's a statement of Dr. White, W-H-Y-T-E, one of the great expositors of the word of a day gone by. I'm reading now. There is nothing like the lamentations of Jeremiah in the whole world. There has been plenty of sorrow in every age and in every land, but such another preacher and author with such a heart for sorrow has never again been born. Dante comes next to Jeremiah, and we know that Jeremiah was the great exile's favorite prophet. Now, we come to this little book today that moves us in actually to the heart of Jeremiah. We've had a great deal to say about him, and that this man gave a message that broke his heart. And it did. Five chapters are here, and they're elegies. Five elegies. They're almost funeral dirges. They are sad beyond description. And here you see this man Jeremiah as he stood over Jerusalem weeping. And that's about all he did. And he delivered a harsh message. And we have seen that he began his ministry as a young man during the reign of Josiah. And Josiah led in the last revival, largely on the surface, but a great many hearts were touched. And Jeremiah and Josiah evidently were friends. They were young men together. And then Jeremiah continued on after the untimely death of Josiah in the battle at Megiddo against Pharaoh Necho, a battle that Josiah should have stayed out of. And then we saw this man Jeremiah prophesying during the reign of four wretched kings, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah, the final one. And this man, as he attempted to call his people and his nation back to God, actually, he never deterred the downward course of the nation. And he witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem, and he saw it burn. He sat down in the warm ashes, and hot tears coursed down his cheeks. How tragic and wretched this man was. And you can pour his tears in the test tube and examine them from a scientific viewpoint. And I think you'd find that there was a great deal of NaCl, a great deal of salt in his tears. But I don't think you would scientifically know the sorrow and the heartbreak of this man. He has been called the prophet of the broken heart. A life that had been filled with pathos and pity. And his sobbing was a solo. He's a lonely prophet. He is the number one crybaby of the Bible. And this little book is filled with tears and sorrow. It's a pan of pain. It's a poem of pity. It's a proverb of pathos. It's a hymn of heartbreak. It's a psalm of sadness. It's a symphony of sorrow. It's a story of sifting. It's a tale of tears. It's a dirge of desolation. It's a tragedy of travail. It's an account of agony. It's a book of boo-hoo. It's the wailing wall of the Bible. Now, he's a sob sister, and a sob sister does not attract friends. Tears will not assist you in winning a popularity contest. Ella Wheel Wilcox wrote a little bit of doggerel, and she said, "Laugh and the world laughs with you. Weep and you weep alone, for this sad old earth must bar its mirth, but it has trouble enough of its own." Tears are generally conceded to be a sign of weakness. Crying is effeminate. Bawling is for babies. I remember many years ago in our summer Bible school we had right here in Pasadena when I was pastor, outside my study was the place where the kiddos came and went into the playground. And a little boy brought his little sister. And it was interesting to watch how he hovered over and watched after her. She was a little bitty thing, and he was still a little bitty boy himself, but he was older than she was. And one day, right outside my window, she fell on the asphalt, and she scratched up her knee, and she began to cry like a little child would, and he began to give her a sales talk. I listened to him. Oh, she shouldn't cry, and he was certainly selling her on the idea that she shouldn't cry. And he ended it by saying, he says, only women cry. Well, I don't know what he thought she was, but nevertheless, he thought that would hush her up. And you know, it worked. She stopped crying. This man Jeremiah had a woman's heart. He was sensitive. He was sincere. He was sympathetic. He's tender as a mother. And he gave the strongest and harshest message in the Bible. He announced the destruction of Jerusalem, and he pronounced judgment, and he counseled them to surrender, and it got him into all kinds of trouble. Now, what kind of a person would you choose to give such a rough, brutal, tough message as that? Would you like to get an Attila, a Mr. Gromyko, or Mr. Brezhnev, or any of the leaders, dictators of the world? Would you have wanted Hitler or Mussolini to deliver your message? Well, I know one thing. I don't think we would send Caspar Milquetoast to give the message. Well, this is the kind of a man God chose. A man with a broken heart. It was said, and I've just discovered who it was that said it. It was Dr. Dale of Birmingham. And Dr. Morgan is responsible for the quotation. He says that he heard Dr. Dale say that Mr. Moody was the only man who seemed to him to have the right to preach about hell. And when someone asked him why, he said, because he always preaches it with tears in his voice. Well, that is the type of man I think God wants today. We have too many that are not moved by the message they give. The story is told that David Garrick, he was one of the great Shakespearean actors of the past. He was going down a street, and there standing at the corner was a man just yearning over the people. And David Garrick said, I stood on the outside of that crowd, but I found myself imperceptibly working myself in until I stood right under that man, and there came down from his breast hot tears. Well, Garrick also says that a woman standing there pointed her shaking, withered finger at the man and said, Sir, I followed you since you preached this morning at 7, and I've heard you preach 5 times in the streets of this city. 5 times I've been wet with your tears. Why do you weep? Well, that man was George Whitfield. He was a man, he was cross-eyed, he was burlesque on the English stage, he was denounced from almost every pulpit in England, and yet 5 times he preached in the streets of London, and 5 times his hot tears had wet this woman who stood beneath him listening to his message. David Garrick goes on to say this. He says, I listened to George Whitfield, and as I listened to him, I saw his passion and his earnestness. I knew that he meant that without Christ, men would die. And as I listened to him, when he came to the place where he could say nothing more, he reached up those mighty arms, and his voice seemed almost like a thunderstorm, and he yearned over that people and said, Oh! And this word, Garrick says, why, he would break an audience with that word. When George Whitfield said, Oh, men bowed before the Holy Ghost like corn bows under the wind. And David Garrick then made this statement, I would give my handful of golden sovereigns if I could say, Oh, like George Whitefield. Then he continued, I'd be the greatest actor that the world has ever known. But the only difference is George Whitefield was sincere. And that is the thing that can be said of Jeremiah. I feel today that we have developed a generation that doesn't have any feeling and doesn't have any compassion, really, for this lost world. And not even concerned about getting out the Word of God. There's no attention given to moral fiber today and a high sense of duty. In the Reader's Digest several years ago, they had an article, What Are Your Chances of Success? And this is what was given to young people. By engaging in work you most enjoy, and which gives fullest expression to your ability and personality. It's too bad Jeremiah didn't read that, because he would have gone in some other kind of business. But Jeremiah could say that it was the Word of God that he rejoiced in. And in Jeremiah 15:16, he said, Thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. How wonderful, this man. You know, today, they're training them, and we find even in Christian work, they're looking for a job. They want to punch a clock. They want to go home, forget all about it. Turn on the TV. They want to hold their feelings and emotions in reserve. And as a result, while you don't find today too many that are involved in getting out the Word, I thank God again and again for the staff that He's given me at the Through the Bible. Most of them are involved in getting out the Word of God today, and it means something to them. This man, Jeremiah, I must confess, I don't understand him. I admire him. I look up to him, and that's about all I can say. Miss Elizabeth Cook wrote this, A woman's heart, tender and quick and warm, but man's an iron will and courage strong. His heart was set to weird, pathetic song. Yet when time called for deeds, no wrathful storm from throne or altar could his soul disarm. His disheartening battle, fierce and strong, when legions in God's livery fought for wrong. This is Jeremiah. This is the man that had a sorrow